Everyone, as you came in this morning, you would have received two different pieces of paper. Our Bible reading today is on one of them. So if you'd like to take that out, follow along as I read from Romans 15, verses 23 to 33. This is one of Paul's letters. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favourably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy, by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather here today. Thank you that we can sing songs of praise to you, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant David, and we pray that as he comes and speaks on this passage of scripture now, that his words will be your words. Pray that you may reveal something new to each one of us today, and that we may be challenged by what we hear and encouraged to make changes if that is what you want us to do. And we pray your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm your visiting missionary speaker this morning. We should welcome Pastor Stuart and Leslie back from their holidays this morning. Good to see that you have survived your holiday and had a good time, and trust you come back full of energy, renewed, strengthened for the work the Lord's called you to do here among us. And thank you for being our pastor, and welcome back this morning. The mission mobilization team felt that as we talked about our mission focused services this year, we should take one of our meetings to actually talk about and think about praying for our missionaries. When you came in as Judy said, you should have received two pieces of paper, but if you didn't, if you put your hand up now, hopefully somebody will leap to their feet and bring you the pieces that are required. So just keep your hand up as we're distributing that. But if you turn to the side that has the Bible reading on it, I'd like you to think with me about these words that we've just read and about joining the struggle. And I have a question for you this morning as we begin, and that is prayer, does it make any difference? Does it make any difference? This morning we focus on praying for our missionaries. Regularly they ask us to pray for them. They send us requests for prayer regularly, and they're on the tables that we'll sit at a little bit later this morning to be able to pray. They thank us for their prayers, as we've just heard Dawn say to us after recounting her journey to Lesotho and helping us to understand some of the mundane things that are part of the struggle in gospel ministry that all of our people face in whatever ministry they're involved. Prayer, does it make any difference? A summary of a recent prayer survey in USA churches asked, why is it that prayer ranks so high in importance and so low in our sense of satisfaction? I suspect if we had our own survey here this morning, we might find a result that is similar. We believe in the vital importance of prayer, and yet we don't feel very satisfied or fulfilled about our practice of prayer, about how prayer is in our lives and in our experience. I have to confess, I look back at the end of each month after having mission matters and prayer requests for the month there on the table. I don't think I've prayed as faithfully or as well as I could have for those things the missionaries have asked us to pray for. But we're encouraged in Romans 8 verse 26, where Paul writes earlier in this book that we're looking at this morning and tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our praying and in our weakness and our struggles to pray. So this morning's not disconnected with the series we've been having on the work of the Spirit, because it is actually the Holy Spirit who energizes us, who helps us, who enables us to persevere in prayer. But prayer, does it make any difference? And I don't ask you really that question to give the kind of spontaneous result that you think you should give, but rather ask you to think about the priority of prayer in terms of the practice of your own Christian life and your own journey. Prayer, does it make any difference? Do our priorities actually reflect that in the way we live and in the way we pray? You see, our answer directly reflects what happens to the information and the requests for prayer that come to us from our missionaries. Prayer, does it make any difference? Well, in this passage that we're looking at this morning, Paul gives a resounding yes to that question. Prayer is vital and fundamental, he says, to my missionary ministry. Now, he probably wrote this letter to Roman Christians from Corinth on his third missionary journey, which was after some 20 years of extraordinary pioneer missionary work in the home situation in Israel, but also across through Asia Minor and into Europe. And he's now heading to Jerusalem with an offering from the Gentile Christians for the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem, because they are suffering a severe time of famine. But beyond that, he has a vision and a passion to go on to Spain. And so he wants to go to Rome so he can jump from Rome onto Spain because of his desire to preach the gospel there. And so after many years of longing to reach these Roman Christians that he's never met before but he's writing to, he believes this might be the opportunity for him to meet them and then for them to help him as a support base to be able to move on to Spain. And in this amazing letter, he provides a clear exposition of the gospel, what it means in terms of embracing the gospel ourselves, but also his theology of mission. Why should we engage in mission? Why should we preach the gospel? And so it's a basis, in a sense, for his appeal to these Christians in Rome, that as I come to you, will you provide a base for me to be able to go on to Spain? And Paul comes towards the end of his letter, and I just want you to look at the last four verses this morning of what we read together. In verse 30, he writes, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." Can you try and think yourself into the mindset that Paul has as he writes those words? Now, if you read his letters, you know that he's often asking for prayer, or he's often praying in the letters that he writes. But here again, he writes about prayer, but from a very personal kind of level. He says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters." So it's a passionate call. It's not just, by the way, as I come to the end, would you remember me in your prayers? He believes prayer makes a difference. In fact, he really doesn't want to go into his ministry and his work without prayer. He believes it makes a difference. And as he expresses this here, he uses a unique form of this verb that's used in the New Testament, but never with the structure in which he uses it here, which basically means, I appeal to you, or I'm urging you to agonize or strive or struggle with me. Fight with me, wrestle with me in your prayers. And the struggle is actually in the praying, not just in the doing of the work. And so I ask the question, are we ready for a fight and a struggle when we actually come to engage in prayer for our missionaries? What is this agonized struggle that he asks them to join with him in? What is it? Well, one way to see it is people often think of joining the fasting, the practice of fasting, with prayer. And they see that as part of this struggle. Because what does fasting mean when we join it together with prayer? Fasting is saying, with the desire for physical hunger that we deny ourselves of, this much, Lord, we want you to act. This much we desire your power to help. This much we hunger for the revelation of your glory. This much we hunger for the conversion of people. This much we hunger for the success and the blessing of our missionaries. This much we hunger to be a united church. But another way to understand this struggle is to try to think our way into what it means. If we're going to struggle in prayer, it means to be absolutely convinced about a critical issue or about a need or about an opportunity or about a strategy or about a person. And this conviction gives birth to our desire to pray and to see the urgency of prayer. Because a critical need is something that we don't just read, but we actually feel our way into. It actually grips us. It becomes part of us. It becomes intertwined with our thinking and our understanding of what's happening with those who are serving. Today we have prayer requests from our missionaries on the table. And they represent, in a sense, from them, the critical needs that they see in their ministry at the present time. But it's not just a conviction about a critical need, because that will not necessarily motivate us to pray. We may, in fact, fall into despair and discouragement because we think, well, that sounds impossible to me, or how on earth is that going to happen? What hope is there for change? So it's not just seeing the critical need, it's not just feeling that need, it's not just the desire there, but there's also, combined with that, a confident hope that is the reason that we engage in our prayer. Hope that things can change, hope that problems can turn into pathways, hope that there will be growth, hope that there will be fruitfulness, hope that there will be maturity, hope that there will be blessing, hope that there will be a bank account that's finally opened so that we can do our work. And that hope is born because of the who, because of who we pray to. Notice what Paul says here, join me in my struggle by praying to who? God. Praying to God for me. Praying by our Lord Jesus Christ, who has all authority. Praying by the love of the Spirit, who pours his love into our hearts. Praying to the triune God. Here's the Trinity embedded in what Paul is saying here in his call for prayer. You see, we pray to God Almighty, who's the Creator, the one of majestic power and holiness, the Father of compassion and kindness, the God of peace that Paul speaks of him at the end of his, at the end of these verses we're looking at. That's the God we pray to. We pray to the God who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, born into our world at a specific time and place, who through his sin-bearing death destroyed the guilt of sinners, the Saviour of the world, now enthroned with all authority and power over heaven and earth, and who will come again to destroy all suffering and injustice and create a better world than we can possibly imagine. That's the one we pray to. We pray to God the Holy Spirit, sent by the Son to convict and convert, to indwell every believer, working the transforming experience of Christ in our lives, changing us to be the people that God wants us to be, pouring his fruit into our journey and giving us the gifts that we need that we might be able to serve him, and to enable us and to give us power and boldness in our witness and in our mission. That's the God we pray to. Paul says, join me in my struggle by praying to God, this God of the Bible. In contrast to that, the God of the Greek philosopher Aristotle taught about is a God who's not really involved in his world, wandered off to some other distant corner of the universe because it's kind of imperfect to be involved in what you have created. A sign of inferiority. That's not the God we pray to. The God we pray to is involved in our world. He's present in our lives. He's active and he's working. So in a sense, if we want our prayers to grow, we need to think on God. Who is it that we pray for? That gives us hope in our praying. Think about the fullness of his divine being and seek after him to know him better. Check out Psalm 63 or read Jim Packer's wonderful little classic, Knowing God, because those things inspire us to pray. Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. But you notice here in verse 30, what are we struggling with? Or who are we struggling with? Paul doesn't say. Is it struggling against the sin in our us in praying for our missionaries today? Well, you'll notice, first of all, it's about the personal well-being of the worker. Pray that I might be kept safe from unbelievers, those opposing the faith, those who make it difficult. But then secondly, he says, pray that ministry might be fruitful. He's taking this offering from Gentile believers to the Jewish Christians who had their suspicions about the Gentile believers and the whole business of the gospel spreading among the Gentiles. He's taking this offering to them because they've sent missionaries to them, and he wants that to be fruitful. He wants it to bring unity and harmony, that the ministry might be fruitful, that the missionary and the national people might be one in healthy relationships despite their cultural differences. And here it's Jews and Gentiles. But it might be Lesotho's or Australians or Papua New Guineans and Australians or Chinese and Australians. But then notice he's also praying about the personal joy, that I may come to you with joy. The emotional health, the resilience of the worker might be strong. Experiencing joy, or as some people put it, thriving, not just surviving in the work of ministry and mission. Or you'll notice here he says also that the worker and the mission will walk in God's will, directed by the Spirit, not bend God's will to their own. That I come to you by God's will. Then he prays about the refreshment of the workers and of the worker. In your company as I come to you, that I'll be refreshed. Because Paul himself, despite his greatness and his extraordinary work, was one who needed refreshment. And Paul says finally in that little section there, the God of peace. Pray that our people, our workers, will experience God's peace in the midst of the challenges and the struggles they face. Well, prayer, does it really make a difference? Yes or no? Yes. It would be a resounding yes. And if Margaret and I had time, we could story. We talked about this, but we don't have time for stories because we've got to do some other things. But we can all story about answers to prayer, not just missionaries, of course. But this morning I'm speaking specifically about the importance of prayer for our missionaries. But you notice that there, just lastly, that there's a very deep personal connection in this plea. Brothers and sisters, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. You see, there's a desire there for a relationship. A relationship. In fact, most missionaries will say to you, those who pray are just as important as those of us who go. And those of us who go would never go unless God gave us people to pray. So why pray? Well, simply because missionaries need our prayers, and prayer does make a question, make a difference. So one last question. Will you join the struggle? Let's pray, and then we'll do something a little different. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that prayer does make a difference, because you are the living God, sovereign over all the earth, and you hear and answer the prayers of your people. But Lord, we confess we struggle in our praying. We're not as faithful. It's not as meaningful, perhaps, as sometimes we feel it ought to be. But Father, we pray that your Spirit may help us in our weakness and our brokenness, that we might be strong in prayer for those we send out to the work. Help us now as we spend some time briefly praying, and then write a note of encouragement to those who have gone, that they may be assured of our prayers for them, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're just going to have a few moments before we close our service with a final song of Gentle Chaos.